listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. If you have a question or comment about today's show, Jay would love to hear from you at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You can also send an email to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. That's questions, the number 4, taylor@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Hard times and good times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really pleased to have with me for a second week in a row, John Kaiser. John is an independent analyst based in San Francisco. He writes a newsletter, has done so for many years. He's a friend of mine. We meet up at a lot of gold shows, various investment shows, and I will be meeting up with John again in a couple of weeks, 3-4 weeks from now, at the Metals Investor Forum in Vancouver. And so thanks for joining me again, John. It's really good to have you back again this week.
Jay, it's a pleasure to be back so soon.
It is. It's good to have you here because you have made you've really studied this Novo story very, very carefully since you decided to hone in on it. You're smarter than I am, John, because it's turning out not to be a waste, but I was in it much earlier than you at a time when there was not a lot to be excited about, I suppose. But you picked the right time to get in on this and start looking at it very carefully. And you have some very, very well thought out, very informed information. You spent some time with Quinton on the project. And I think you've studied this, the science of this, as well as anybody I know. So I want to ask you to comment today on today's press release, which was headed up by Novo. The headline for the press release: "Core drilling supports strong continuity of conglomerates at Purdy's Bay at Purdy's Reward." What can you summarize, maybe for our listeners, the press release and what your thoughts are on it, John?
Well, what they've put out is that they've completed holes on a 50-meter grid in a 400 by 200 meter footprint. They've intersected the conglomerate beds with thicknesses of 4 to 15 meters in true thickness, and that's important, true thickness, because these things are fairly shallow dipping, and what you see exposed at surface can look a lot wider than it actually is. Just doing some basic calculations, for each vertical depth of the conglomerate bed, that's about 200,000 tons of rock for this particular footprint that they've outlined. In terms of this 4 to 15 meter, we're looking at 800,000 to 3 million tons of rock that they will soon be assessing with a large diameter drill. Now, one of the interesting things that they have pointed out is that they have observed buckshot pyrite within the conglomerate bed, the matrix. And that's a key part of the whole Witwatersrand reef scenario, evidence that there was no oxygen in the air and that this stuff likely has precipitated onto the seabed floor. They continue to point out that everything has always been found in these large clasts at the bottom of the conglomerate beds. So they further fleshed out this idea that we're dealing with a 3-billion-year-old basement of granitic greenstone rocks, and the first layer is this conglomerate bed, and that there's a Mount Roe basalt cap shielding it, protecting it. And the question becomes, how far down dip are we going to go? We know we've got 8 kilometers of daylighting conglomerate beds where the fossickers have been picking up gold. So today's news really starts fleshing out that down dip potential for us.
Mm-hmm. So how much down dip? What did you say again that dimension was? What was it?
So the grid is along 400 meters of strike and 100 meters of depth.
Depth. Okay.
They're only like maybe 50 meters deep encountering it. So in this area here, it's conceivable that you would simply strip off the basalt rock on top and mine these conglomerate beds, you know, strip mine them. So this upcoming round of 17.5-inch large diameter drill hole is going to be really important because we got that fantastic 2 ounce per ton gold in that 1 2-meter by 2-meter pit. But that's just one data point.
Yes.
We have evidence of a whole string of these things. You know, we got that great Denver show a week ago showing that the stuff is all over the place in these beds. But we need to start seeing grades. They've got at least 6 trenches dug where they are extracting 500 to 1,000 kilo samples that they'll be processing with the Steinert protocol. And that should hopefully that results in a news release very similar to the one we got in early August. But the next important thing is when they step down and start getting about 200 meters down dip, get that machine in the percussion machine and get these similar sized bulk samples, are we going to see similar grades? Because there's one crowd of people that arguing that, well, what you're really seeing here is some sort of supergene enrichment phenomenon, and that what you have is this great ribbon snaking 100 kilometers across the northern Pilbara. But as soon as you start tracing it down dip, it's just going to fizzle out because this is all a tropical weathering type of phenomenon. Mm-hmm. So overcoming that hurdle of skepticism is going to be what we'll find out between now and the end of the year.
So, John, when they do this with these, I guess, 18-inch diameter drills, the wide percussion drills, we probably will get to learn something about the nugget. Hopefully it picks up some nuggets. Also, whether or not there's some fine grain gold in there as well, probably.
Yeah. So this is like a giant RC rig, 18 inches wide, and it just sort of grinds up the rock, all the basalt, it goes into a waste dump, and when they hit this conglomerate, and that's the purpose of the scout drilling, because one of the things that the basement topography is not this wonderful flat uniform thing. It does have pockets. It undulates. So you're going to see depth variation. And knowing exactly where your conglomerate bed is and then getting a sample just from the conglomerate bed, because the basalt will have absolutely nothing in it. Almost all the rock above these beds is absolutely worthless, which is why this conglomerate, gold-hosted bearing conglomerate, has been overlooked by everybody because nobody realized that it would be right at the base, the unconformity between the really ancient Pilbara and this Mount Robe basalt, that this fantastic potential trove of gold nuggets formed. If this precipitation theory that Quentin Hennig talks about turned out to be correct, and if it is correct, it would have taken place over a very vast region. And these samples, they are like whole rock analysis. They're literally, it's like almost mining the rock and processing it for all the gold that's in it. So we will know about the fine gold component and the nugget component. I notice in this news release, Quentin Hennig still talks about the possibility of the fine gold component. So the earlier comments he made to me about sometimes they see no fine gold, sometimes they see just nuggets, sometimes fine gold and no nuggets. You need the systematic drilling, the scientific evidence to put together a statistical picture of what is going on. So we're still flying blind to a large degree, but the process is now underway so that we'll have some big answers by the end of this year.
So the end of this year, probably early January or so, we might start to get some assays, potentially.
Well, see, the Steinert machine, which they set up now, you truck the samples to it, that they can process this stuff fairly quickly. Mm-hmm. So once they get this going, remember, they've got a budget of $2 million a month. I mean, this is not some little rinky-dink junior exploration program drilling a hole at some skinny little vein somewhere. This is a mass program. This is a statistics game, a bulk sampling statistic game that's underway. Very expensive, but we're talking about an extraordinary prize. The size of this prize is potentially off the scale.
Yeah, you talk about the size of this prize. You were just mentioning you could see 800, I think, if I remember what you said, 800,000 to 800,000 tons to 3 million tons of rock in just this small area, I guess. Is that what you said, John?
Yes, yeah. Each meter of thickness within this footprint of 400 meters by 20 is about 200,000 tons of rock.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, from 4 meters to 15 meters, that's like they're looking at a footprint of 800 to 1,000 to 3 million tons. And so the question is, great, if that comes in at an ounce, well, that's pretty good. I mean, the cost of stripping and processing, that's going to be very low. But what will really be the key thing is, okay, we're looking at a tiny footprint to try and understand what this is. The WITS 2.0 question is this just a local freak show, something that happened here, something weird or whatever? Or is this symptomatic of what's going on over a vast region in the Pilbara? And, you know, I'm looking at comparing the WITS 1.0 to this. The WITS 1.0, those conglomerate beds are sandwiched between other layers of sediments. This is really unusual here. Here, the gold-bearing conglomerate beds are sitting right on ancient basement. There was almost like a 100 million year of mystery as to what happened between the formation of the basement, the crystalline basement rocks, this conglomerate, and then the basalt floods, which start at about 2.78 billion years ago, and pretty much end this gold formation story.
Yeah, interesting. Fascinating, actually, more than interesting. John, one of the things Quentin talked to me about a long time ago, even as Beaton's Creek was starting to be discovered, from his study of South African Witwatersrand rock, something he referred to as the carbon leaders, and it is a carbon associated with gold. Has he said anything to you about that when you were down in Australia or since then?
Well, when I was down there, it was basically theory that, I mean, it's observed in the Witwatersrand Reef that there is carbonaceous material spatially associated with the gold, and there's some argument that it's the chemistry of the whatever it is this algae is doing that is helping the gold drop out and get fixed into physical form. And I asked him at the time, have you seen any of this here in this stuff? And he's saying, well, no, it's a pretty immature conglomerate. These are big rocks, and the gold is in the sort of fine-grained sand. That's the matrix surrounding this. But he did show me a piece of carbonaceous shale, which obviously came from some sort of algae-type mat with a gold nugget stuck in it. So it appears to have been present in this area. Whether we will see remnants, I mean, they showed the picture of the stromatolite, which is a type of bacteria that existed even as far back as 3.5 billion years ago. And again, these algae things are potentially important because around this time they start engaging in photosynthesis, which is the creation of oxygen. And while they do not create enough to change the atmosphere, they will create enough locally in the shallows of these seas. And one of the things that this news release also points out, they're pretty convinced they're dealing with a shallow near shore environment. It'll be higher energy. And what you need to imagine, if you believe the precipitation theory, you'll see these gold grains nucleate on something and then literally grow, and they'll be sloshing around on the seafloor, the tides coming in and out twice a day, and and the sand and the gravel and even the cobbles are being worked around. What's interesting is we don't know what sort of sorting happens in this type of environment. When you get farther downshore, the sorting has had a lot more time to put the smaller pieces together and the bigger pieces together. Here we're seeing a whole range of stuff, and that's what's good for the fine gold theory, is that you know, you're not going to see just big nuggets grow. You're going to see a log normal distribution of gold crystals growing in this type of environment, possibly helped out by the emanations from the bacterial mats that of course grow in the shallows, not in the deeper part. And another thing to keep in mind, right now you look at the giant Pilbara Craton with the Hammersley Basin, it goes down to 5,000 meters or so. Well, in the beginning, it wasn't that deep. The deepness of this happened later as the whole Kraton tilted and the weight of the material piling up after 400, 300 million year sequence buried it deeper and deeper. So we could have a very far, 100 kilometer plus shallow, call it a continental shelf, where it is quite shallow, where you have these bacterial algae mats growing, you have it replenished every day, twice a day by fresh seawater that's full of gold and other metals because the solubility is much higher due to the chemistry of the earth back then. And you have the combination of the algae mats in these shallows dropping the gold out, and it's seeding itself onto an existing grain. And eventually it gets compacted and they get squashed and maybe moved around a little bit more. And then the weight from burial causes that particular shape and the crenulated surface to appear. But the original form was probably much more of a jaggedy-edged crystalline, like some of these pieces that Quentin has bought from the fossicers showing crystalline gold growing in a piece of tufaceous sediment, volcanic ash, that has never been altered, so was not hydrothermally put there.
I'll tell you, John, it's a fascinating story. I know you believe that. It's a very exciting story, but it fits you like a glove, I think, in many ways, because you are an out-of-the-box thinker. You like to look at new stories, and I know that there's, before you were into Novo, you told me about another one, Nevada Exploration. It's a company that I found interesting. I never really followed up on it, a little bit like you never really followed up on Novo when I was interested in it years ago. But tell us a little bit about Nevada Exploration, because they have also been making some progress, I understand. Can you give us a take about 3 minutes here, John, to tell us about Nevada Exploration? If you can do it three, if you have to have two more, we'll take that time away from Eric Coffin, who's following you. But give us a little update on a brief overview of Nevada Explorations and a little bit of what might have happened more recently to that program.
Well, Nevada Exploration developed this technology of measuring groundwater for gold in addition to the other toxics. And groundwater has been a tool going back to the 50s and 60s that works for copper. But the problem with gold is so dilute in water today that the technology could not measure it. But that changed 15 years ago. So this company has been in Nevada. And you know, the reason I was such a sucker for this Novo story and the science and all that behind it was because in the case of Nevada Exploration, we have a combination of new methodology to look under the gravels of Nevada, but also relatively new theories about why is there so much gold in Nevada? 400 million ounces, much of it medium to high grade, found since the 70s. And the thing is, Nevada has this basin range topography where 15 million years ago, it got stretched apart, so the mountains popped up, the valleys dropped down. And because the gold was put in between 40 and 30 million years ago, half of it conceivably is obscured, artificially buried under this gravel, which the groundwater technology goes. Now, what's fascinating from a science point of view, there's a professor called John Muntean who has come up with this elaborate theory as to how about 60, 70 million years ago, a slab subducting underneath the North American continent stalled and sat there for 30 million years dehydrating, and all these metals get stripped out of this, basically it's an ocean plate slab, and end up in these brines pooled underneath the crust. And then about 40 million years ago, this slab starts to fail, founder, literally sink into the earth, releasing energy, which it's like Niagara Falls going from the northeast corner of Nevada, retreating all the way down to where the Walker Lane is, and literally pushing these brines that have soaked up all this gold and other metals, forcing them through the caps and into the sponges that have been prepared. So it's an elaborate geological theory. It explains why is there so much gold, and then this idea of, well, this artificial stretching and hiding half of this gold endowment underneath the gravels, and this little junior coming along with this method, it's collected 6,000 samples. They've developed a new tool, the Scorpion rig, to better assess the groundwater values in three dimensions. They spent all year in the Kelly Creek Basin area testing it. They think they've outlined a structurally controlled gold system, which will require some drilling now. They're moving it to Grass Valley South, which is at the southern end of a 40-kilometer valley, Grass Valley at the northern end. They have an anomaly too. And the bias in Nevada is the gold's all on these northwest-southeast structures, Battle Mountain trend, Carlin trend, Cortez Hill trend. But Barrick just staked a 25-kilometer by 5-kilometer corridor in Carrico Valley, which is parallel to the west of Grass Valley and heads southwest. So clearly, they don't think it's this northwest-southeast structural control anymore. And the nice thing about Grass Valley is the junior has already sampled the whole valley, and they don't own the middle part because there's nothing there. They're literally using exploration technology to identify anomalies coming from hidden deposits, buried deposits, blind deposits. And that's where you're going to find stuff in the future. Even in Australia, in a sense, Mount Robe basalt conglomerate bed. Mm-hmm. It was blind except for this tiny little ribbon. And nobody, even when the big guys drilled these deep holes, they never bothered assaying it because, well, plaster gold could never accumulate in quantities in this garbage rock. So yeah. I love Nevada Exploration Inc. And Jay, this one's for you. I've been with this for 6-7 years. It's smashed and burned, but it's come back to life. Some of my subscribers hate me for it. But it's your subscribers, and you've never heard of this one. Here's my gift back to you. This one is never going to be as big as what I think Novo is going to be in Australia. But, if they end up finding 5, 10, 20 million ounce systems such as Cortez Hills Pipeline, Twin Creeks, Carlin in Nevada, this method, well, you're still looking at some very substantial.
Oh, amen to that. Amen to that. Well, 52 million shares at 42 cents Canadian, giving it a market cap of 22 million. Very, very small company. And obviously, if they hit on something significant, big upside there, John. Thank you so much. We're out of time. Thank you for sharing your wisdom with our listeners. We'll have to do it more often. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Jay. Thanks for having me on.
All right, folks. Well, we do have to go to commercial break. When we come back, Eric Coffin will be with us. He has some very interesting exploration stories to tell you as well. So don't go away. We'll be right back with Eric Coffin.
Voice America Business Network. The bottom line in business.
Novo Resources focuses on the exploration and development of gold projects. Its flagship asset is the Beaton's Creek Gold Project in Western Australia, where it is currently upgrading and expanding on its resources to produce an economic study in Q3 2017, followed by construction in Q1 2018. Novo enjoys a strong balance sheet and supportive shareholder support from the likes of Eric Sprott and Newmont Mining. It trades in Canada and the U.S. under the symbols NVO and NSRPF, respectively. A gold rush has begun. Recently, three of the largest gold mining companies announced strategic acquisitions in the Yukon Territories. Ahead of them was a group who had already consolidated the key claims covering the historic Klondike Gold Rush into one company, aptly named Klondike Gold Corp. Led by a team of accomplished geoscientists, the company is steadily advancing exploration to reveal the rich source of all that gold. The hunt for the next major discovery is well underway, and Klondike Gold's shareholders are strategically positioned. Stay ahead of the majors and follow KlondikeGoldCorp.com.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.